Hello again. Let's get back into how to maximize your influence when you don't have any type of power, no position, no authority. How do you get people to change? Get the long-term lasting change. This is part one of two to really understand what it takes to change yourself or change other people. The formula is the same, but that's the key, is to really understand change. Because to really maximize your influence, you need to know how to convince when you're not in charge, persuade when you're not in the right position, lead when you're not the boss, influence when there's no authority, win when you're not the coach, and negotiate sometimes when you're not included. The key is to really understand change, how we change, why we resist change, and it'll make a big difference in your ability to maximize your influence. We are creatures of habit, there's no doubt about that. We like things in order, in a row, that are familiar to us. We tend to follow the path of least resistance, and a lot of times we want to wait until everything's perfect before we move and do something or make a decision. We get stuck in what we call that comfort zone. So how do you get yourself out of that comfort zone? How do you influence others to change, even when you don't have the authority or the power or don't know them that well, or even sometimes when you know them very, very well? That is a huge part of persuasion and influence and motivation, is really getting somebody to change. And there's three ways that people change. It could be a drastic change. If somebody had a heart attack or lost their job or personal tragedy in their life, that change happens very, very fast. For most people, it's a gradual change from a personal relationship. It happens over time. It evolves from events in your life. That's always happening to us and we don't realize it. Then there's internal change. Change that we decide we're going to make because it's going to make us better people. Now, realize there's a big difference in the definition between change and alteration. A lot of people around you that you're attempting to influence might alter their behavior instead of changing their behavior. In fact, I know somebody very close to me, I won't say who it is, who has always struggled with weight. And when people are around, they do an alteration. They eat right, they exercise, they do things. But when people aren't around, they're heading to the fast food restaurants, they're getting the ice cream. That is alteration. Change comes from inside. Alteration is adjustments we make because that's what people want. And alteration tends to be very temporary. Sometimes it's even a form of deception, either personal deception or trying to deceive other people to make it look like a change has happened. So I want to talk about four keys that you will need to have to change something in your own life or change or persuade somebody else. The first one is mental programming. Understand the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. Until you've created a vision of it, it's not going to matter. Mental programming is a huge piece to your success, your psyche, your ability to reprogram your mind. This is big for most people. Because if you haven't changed the way you think about something, if you haven't reprogrammed your brain, it's impossible to change. You have to make the change mentally first, before it will happen physically. And this is the step that most people forget. When you look at wealth and wealth creation, realize that you earn what you feel you're worth. That's part of the mental change. Or when somebody gets on a diet, everybody knows somebody who's on a diet, or they've been on a diet, or they need to be on a diet, it's one of those, and your favorite thing is French fries. And you know French fries are bad, but you love French fries, and so you're always thinking about warm and salty and ketchup, and they're so good. Like, no, I can't do that. I'm on a diet now. But you keep coming back to that thought, and how about you love French fries? Because you haven't changed the way you think, and ultimately, regardless of who you are, you will be eating French fries, and you've failed, and the change didn't stick. So as you're working with other people or working with yourself, they have to visualize the change. They have to buy into that vision, or it's never going to happen. You have to change the way they think or change the way you think. If you want to cure yourself of French fries, just go to a fast food restaurant, get a supersized order, put it on your tray, take the thing of French fries and pull it above your head and squeeze those French fries in your hand. as that potato pulpy mass oozes between your fingers and that yellow lard comes down your arm and drips onto the floor, that lard that's causing your heart to stop. Now all of a sudden, oh, we're thinking a little differently here. And that's important, to reprogram your brain to see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. This is the big piece that most people forget. When you look at corporations and the CEO has that big vision and you should do this and do that, and then everyone's all, yeah, flavor of the day, whatever, because they haven't bought into the vision, they're not going to change, and people will not change unless they see where that change is going to take them. One of my favorite quotes is, when the will comes in conflict with the imagination invariably carries the day, meaning your imagination will always win. Doesn't matter if it's reality, that's how powerful the brain is. So that's number one, is mental programming. Number two reason why we don't change and things we need to fix to get people to change or to change ourselves is fear. Fear holds people back. Fear tends to be an overblown doubt. And you've heard me say it before that we are only born with two fears. A newborn human baby has two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. And fear is going to cost you job promotion, it costs you money, it costs you relationships. It is really holding you back. And people will not change if they get stuck in fear and have those doubts. And for most people, it's just facing their fear, getting them out there and realizing it's not that bad. If you have a fear of the dentist, oh, painful, don't want to go, and it's going to hurt, and you put it off, 1 year, 2 years, it hurts so bad, you go, and most people say, oh, that wasn't that bad. Whether it's picking up the phone or confronting somebody or knocking on the door, whatever it is, it's usually not that bad. Realize that one of the major fears that hold people back from changing is the fear of failure. Winning is all about losing. We have to understand that failing a few times is okay, and that's not failure. Just because you lose a couple times doesn't mean you're a failure. Now, when I say winning is all about losing, what I'm talking about is, let's say, an Olympic athlete who's won a gold medal. They're standing there on the stand getting the gold medal. The question is, have they won more races in their life or have they lost more races? They have lost, and it's still worth it to them. And that's true about success. And what you want is, you need to realize that there'll be bumps along the way, that you might lose a few games, you might lose a few battles, but it's the ultimate victory that you're looking for. And a lot of people fail because of their inability to delay gratification. My favorite quote I learned from my early mentor, Jim Rohn, he would say, do you want to spend a day at the beach or own a piece of the beach? Let me add something to that. Do you want to spend a day golfing or own the golf course? Do you want to spend a day shopping or own the shopping mall? That's a big reason. Another one is that people feel overwhelmed. And this is huge. When you feel overwhelmed, what your brain does is it shuts you down and you resist change. Guess what I'm getting at is, when you feel overwhelmed, what you're looking at is too big. So I've been on the road doing some training, and I get home after a three-day seminar, for example, and there's a list of things for me to do. My wife has some things, my kids have some things, the publisher has some things, there's things I need to do with the business. There's so much to do, I end up taking a nap. I don't know if you relate to that or not, because what I'm looking at is too big. So at any point somebody feels overwhelmed or it's too much or it's too big, the reason is what you're looking at is too big, and you need to break it down into smaller pieces. So as you influence other people and you're getting a lot of resistance to change, it's too big in their mind, they're overwhelmed, and they're destined for failure. Another one is the lack of self-discipline. And we've learned a lot about self-discipline in the last few years, the science of willpower, the science of self-discipline. And what we're finding is that your self-discipline in a lot of ways is like a battery. Your willpower is like a battery. Go back to the weight example. If you were trying to lose weight, you wake up in the morning, you have a full charged willpower battery. You know, to the bagels and no to the donuts, but every time you say no, every time you resist, it drains your willpower battery that day. So when you get to the late afternoon, you don't care anymore, nobody loves you, and you eat a whole thing of ice cream because you've let that battery drain. We also notice that negative emotions, pessimistic people, low blood sugar will all drain that battery. So what successful people do to get past that failure and get change to stick is notice in yourself or in other people that their willpower or self-discipline battery has been drained. And what can you do to charge it? Maybe they need to eat some food, take a nap, meditate, exercise, do something they're good at. Humor, laughing at something will recharge that battery. There are a variety of things that people can do to recharge that battery. Being aware is the biggest factor here in change. The studies show time and time again that self-discipline is a major cause of failure, but you also have that battery that you need to be aware of. Number three for lasting change is lack of knowledge, or we can call it personal development. We know there's a direct correlation between your personal development and your success. The key word here is tools. If you're attempting to change somebody else, it might sound good. They say they want to do it, but if they don't have the tools or don't think they have the tools or the knowledge to do it, they won't change. That's so important to understand because it makes perfect sense to you. You know how to do it, but do they? And they don't want to look stupid and ask you how to do it and what to do and what they should do. So if you don't spell it out for them, they're not going to change. They'll resist change. And that's true in your life. Do you know everything you need to know to make that change? And without the tools and without the knowledge, it's not going to matter. So a personal development program, having the knowledge, having the tools is important. Because most people just assume that they have the tools personally, or the person they're trying to change or get to do something has those tools. The fourth part is motivation. People will not change if they're not motivated. And motivation's a very interesting term. There's two camps out there. There's one camp that says, well, you have to motivate yourself every day. And the other camp says, well, it's too short-term, it doesn't last. And the other camp says, well, neither does a shower, but you should take one every once in a while. They go back and forth. And motivation's important because we've all had days when we didn't feel like doing the things we know we needed to do. And we really have to tap into that type of motivation and understand how it works. The ability to motivate yourself and motivate other people is a big aspect of influence and a big aspect of change. How do you motivate others to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it? Because the moment somebody senses you're going to try to get them to change or to do something, they will resist you unless you have all four of these. How can you motivate them? What do they say? You can't lead a horse to water. It might be true, but you can give that horse salt to motivate him to want to go to the water. And that's true with human nature too. So how do you motivate yourself? How do you motivate other people to get change to stick? Because you'll have days or they'll have days where they don't feel like doing the things they know they need to do. So on a rudimentary level, we really have to understand how motivation works. And I've spent a long time really studying motivation and how it works. Because you go to these seminars or these rah-rah sessions and you could light a match with the energy in the room and people are going to change. They're going to make it happen. This time they're going to do it. And you follow up 2 weeks later and nothing's happened. I can go to anybody on the street and say, excuse me, ma'am, would you like to be financially independent? Well, yes, I would. Sir, would you like to have better relationships? What are you going to hear? Yes, well, then you say, well, what are you doing about it? That's when you get the blank look, staying motivated. So realize that there's only two motivators in life. Do you know what those are? Some people say reward, punishment. Some will say pleasure, pain. Let's package it this way, either inspiration or desperation. That's it. If you want to make a change, if you want to help change somebody else, it's either going to be inspiration or desperation. Now, the challenge is most people are motivated by desperation, but desperation can be a very short-term thing. In fact, I can motivate anybody with desperation. In fact, you probably know a lazy teenager. They won't move. They're watching TV. They won't help. Very simple to motivate that person. You go out in the garage, get a can of gasoline, light the couch on fire, and through desperation, you see a lot of motivation, and they are moving. But the challenge is once the fire's been put out, and you've been arrested, they turn back into a lazy teenager. So desperation's better than inactivity, but inspiration will last a lot longer. But then again, you probably don't go to the dentist out of inspiration. It's probably desperation. And that's what you need to understand, the difference between the two, inspiration and desperation. Both are motivators. Both are important to learn, but you kind of have to tap into their style. This is what I mean. When somebody's in desperation, how do you know? They're trying to move away from something. They're trying to get away from something. They have to do it. And if they're in desperation, you need to motivate them with desperation and buffer that with a little hope and a little inspiration. Now, here's where people blow it. If they're in inspiration, you have to stay in inspiration. Now, inspiration, they're moving towards something. They can't wait to get there. They're excited. They're passionate about it. You can tell it in their demeanor and their word choice. So if they're already in inspiration to make the change, do not go into desperation, because it will backfire on you every time. So let me review that. When they're in desperation, moving away from something, build the pain, build the fear, and buffer it with the hope that it's all going to work out with some inspiration. But if they're in inspiration, moving towards something, they're excited about it, stay there and use that as a motivator, whether it's in your own personal life or the people that you are working with. Those are the four keys. Let's review the four keys. Mental programming. You have to see it before it'll happen. You have to have that vision. Getting past the fear of criticism, the fear of rejection, the fear of failure. You have to have the knowledge and the tools, and you have to have the motivation. So whether you're doing this for your own self and your own life to try to change yourself and influence yourself or other people, the formula is the same. So this is what I want you to work on this week. I want you to learn to read motivation levels. When you talk to somebody, are they motivated by inspiration or desperation? Learn to read that. Learn to motivate them using the different types of motivation. Remember, with inspiration, they're moving towards something. Desperation, they're moving away from something. You can tell it in their demeanor, in their word choice, and in their actions. And if you can be perceptive to learn how to read that, then you'll go a long way in your ability to change other people. Because you want to stay in the motivation level where they are residing. That's very, very important to understand. But right now, you need to learn how to read it, to know that it exists, that there's not just one type of motivation, that you'll be able to peg that motivation level, and you'll be able to help them change. Because when you can change yourself and persuade yourself and change others and persuade other people, the door's wide open for your success and your ability to influence and maximize your influence and go out there and become a very, very influential person.